Listen to the voices of our world.
There are many, particularly white Americans, who are quite bothered by the idea that these dark-skinned immigrants are coming into the country.
If you have no history, you have no future.
To throw light on these people is a good thing. It has a healthy effect on all of us as a democratic society. It's better to know what these people are up to than not to know.
I call them enslaved people and not slaves because they weren't born slaves.
I think we're clearly suffering a kind of resurgence of racial nationalism.
With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope.
Welcome to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. I'm Eileen Bott. The United States Census Bureau predicts that by the year 2050, whites will be a minority, and the minority groups today will be in the majority. It is not just an American trait, but a failing throughout human history that the majority stays on top by controlling the minority. And in tough economic times, the majority turns on the minority. Racism is not gone, and we best beware of payback. Stay tuned, because we're going to talk with Mark Potok, director of the Southern Poverty Law Center's Intelligence Project, and revisit a deplorable moment in the history of the slave trade with John Baines, director of the Office of Black Ministry for the Brooklyn Diocese.
Lift every voice and sing, till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the rolling sea.
Philadelphia, Mississippi, January 7th. A 79-year-old man is arraigned on 3 counts of murder. The murders took place the night of June 21st, 1964. Yesterday versus now photos provide irony, but not pathos. The accused, once confident strut, has been downgraded to a shuffle. His shoulders have dropped, and his eyes have lost their glare. Edgar Ray Killen has pled innocent to the murders of fellow Mississippian James Chaney and New Yorkers Mickey Schwerner and Andrew Goodman 41 years ago. At the time, the three were part of the Freedom Summer effort to register black voters throughout the South. Back then, Killen was a member of the local Ku Klux Klan. Born only 3 years apart in the same segregated South, Edgar Ray Killen and Martin Luther King would both be called reverend, and what they preached was as different as their skin color. Well, that was then, you say. It's different now. Well, no, not really. Hate's just smart enough now to wear camouflage, but it still stalks. After the November election, the Black Congressional Caucus and other groups began to examine voter irregularities in Ohio. That included 9-hour waits to vote in largely African-American precincts, or the provision of only 2 voting machines per 1,100 voters at some polling places. And every voting season, another state trots out yet another anti-immigrant proposition. On December 16th, a mosque and Islamic center in Springfield, Massachusetts, was looted and burned. A new report just out from United for a Fair Economy says that 300,000 additional African-American families fell below the poverty line between 2000 and 2003. The Southern Poverty Law Center's Intelligence Project counted 751 active hate groups in the U.S. in 2003. Many of these claim religious inspiration. Kathy Golden talks with Mark Potok, director of the SPLC's Intelligence Project and editor of its quarterly intelligence report.
Mark, I read a lot of the intelligence reports that you were so kind to send me. One notices as you go through them that so many hate-mongering people have an alleged religious background or the word reverend in front of their names. What is the tie there? Why the religious connection to hate-mongering?
Well, of course, in the case of the Klan, going right back to the beginning, the Klan self-consciously thought of itself whatever other Christians may think, as a Christian organization. You know, they were there, or so they said, to defend sort of, you know, the chastity of Christian white women and Christian white society in general against the scary black man and so on. And that continues right through to today. Most Klan leaders, or at least a good number of them, do use, you know, the sort of reverend appellation. There are other so-called churches that, you know, where the claim to being a real church is much more dubious. There's an outfit, or was until a little while ago, called the World Church of the Creator, which was quite a significant neo-Nazi group. In this case, the idea that there was some kind of theology behind this group was a joke. It was simply bogus. They called their religion, quote-unquote, creativity. And what it amounted to, you can say in a sentence, everything worthwhile that's ever been created on this earth was created by white people. Additionally, there's a major theology, which is a kind of heretical variant of Christianity, and variant doesn't quite cover it, called Christian identity. And this is a fairly well-developed theology, which says that mainstream Christians have got it all wrong. If they only understood what they were reading, they would know full well that the Bible is actually the history of white people. You know, it's God's message to white people. You know, part of their theology also involves the idea that what actually happened in the Garden of Eden was not that Eve was beguiled by a serpent and had a bite out of an apple. It was that Eve was sexually seduced by the serpent, impregnated, and then goes on to have two children, Cain and Abel, of course. Abel is the son, in fact, of Adam, according to this theology, but Cain is the first Jew. Cain is the mixture of, you know, half human and half Satan. So the idea is that Jews are biologically satanic. And, you know, in this bizarre worldview, all of human history from the Garden of Eden on down, forth, is this titanic struggle between the biologically satanic Jew and the sort of godly white man, direct descendant from God.
That's all so amazing. It's such a muddy river. It's amazing. The reason why I mentioned the thing about Reverend really, in a sense, was this 40-year-old case with Edgar Ray Killen finally on his way to jail for the murder 40 years ago of the three civil rights workers, Cheney, Schwerner, and Goodman. He's a reverend, Reverend Edgar Ray.
That's true. I mean, to the point where his nickname was Preacher Killen. You know, exactly what he thought about religion and what kind of Christian, quote-unquote, he thought of himself as, I don't know. But it's certainly true. I mean, this guy was a major official in a Klan group back in 1964 when the murders occurred. And I mean, that was very typical for the Klan, for the leaders to be reverends of one sort or another.
Happily for people like myself, we're not aware of how active some of these hate groups are and how many there are and how well hooked up with one another they are. But are law enforcement people taking better care of ancient cases than they are of what's going on now? Because the Emmett Till case comes to mind. I think folks are working on finally getting to the bottom of that one.
Yeah, it's true. The Emmett Till case was reopened last year. What evidence the federal investigators have, I do not know. It's unclear. What's been said about the Emmett Till case is that based on things that documentary makers found in just the last couple of years, the FBI decided to reopen the case. Now, you know, are they doing a better job with old cases than present cases? I mean, what I would say is this. Up until 1995, American federal agents and detectives in general, I would say, tended to give a bit of a short shrift to domestic terrorists, if that's the right name. I was in Oklahoma City as a reporter, and I will never forget the fact that it was widely assumed instantaneously that this was some kind of Arab terrorist attack. And in fact, in the next couple of days, a mob in northern Oklahoma surrounded this house where a very pregnant Iranian woman lived, and so terrified her that, in fact, she had a miscarriage. This horrible thing. And, of course, 2 days after the bombing, Tim McVeigh was arrested, and it became very clear very quickly that this, in fact, had come from all-American-looking kid.
I'd almost forgotten that aspect of it. Thank you for reminding me that. Yes, I do recall. Let's get for a moment to this story that came out yesterday, thanks to the Intelligence Project, I guess. The extremist leads new Arkansas anti-immigration group. The story of Joe McCutcheon. How do you unearth these kinds of incidents? And has immigration or immigrant become, now forgive me for any of our listeners out there, I certainly would never use a word like this, but is that the new nigger, an immigrant?
Well, I think there's a lot of truth to that. I mean, the fact is that there is a lot of immigration into the United States right now, both legal and illegal. But most importantly, the immigration is going to parts of this country that haven't seen that much immigration in the past. For instance, the Southeast, which is seeing a very large influx of Hispanics. And in some places, it's been quite dramatic. The demographics of whole towns have changed. So, yes. The fact is, too, about this modern wave of immigration is that it is almost entirely non-white. It's essentially Mexican. And so hate groups have piled on this issue like you wouldn't believe. And they are right when they say to themselves, you know, this is an issue that has resonance out there in the mainstream. You don't have to be a Nazi or a Klansman. And in fact, there are many, particularly white Americans, who are quite bothered by the idea that these dark-skinned immigrants are coming into the country. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that. In the case that you mentioned, the case of Joe McCutchen, we've covered over the last 4 years or so increasingly the anti-immigration world and movement because it's become very clear that it is simply shot through with white supremacists and racist attitudes, ideologies, and so on. And none of this, by the way, is to say that if one thinks that we should have somewhat less immigration, that that makes you into some kind of terrible racist or a secret Klansman. That's not at all what we're saying. But, you know, we've seen as a practical matter that these groups are filled with people who come out of other groups that we've covered for years. So Joe McCutchen is a guy who, had back about 4 years ago, he was a member of a very prominent hate group called the Council of Conservative Citizens. This is a group that describes black people as a retrograde species of humanity. So, you know, what happened was that McCutchen was named to head a brand new organization called Protect Arkansas Now, which essentially is behind filing legislation that would make it impossible for people who are not citizens to get any kind of service at all. The law itself is debatable. The fact is that the guy they've named as the chairman of this effort is this Joe McCutchen, who has this extremely nasty background. We made that public, and now it's been in a number of papers around Arkansas and the country, and, you know, and I think it has a very salutary effect.
Mark, for you, unfortunately, covering this spectrum, this huge panorama of hate groups, is the work just confounding?
Well, I mean, I suppose these kinds of things will be with us forever to some extent, but I don't think that's a reason to despair. For instance, where I live, Alabama of 2005 is absolutely not Alabama of 1965. There are many, many race problems here, and yet there's no comparison. I mean, in 1965, the Klan was in a position of real power. I mean, had police chiefs and city councilmen and that kind of thing as members. So, yeah, it's a bit of a struggle. On the other hand, for my own self personally, I'm a journalist, and, you know, these are interesting stories. There's a lot to be reported, and to understand much of anything about this world, you first of all have to learn 200 or 300 or 400 kind of major players, because they're kind of always in the thick of things. So honestly, we write about a lot of very ugly things, and we do not varnish the facts. We print what these guys actually say, and much of this is stuff that couldn't be printed in, you know, sort of any family newspaper in the United States. It's just too vile. Drunk with the
wine. Have you been the victim of prejudice? We'd like to hear your story. Email us. Go to www.maryknoll.org/voices. Just click on Contact Us. Or you can call us at 1-877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 1-877-MARYKNOLL. Tivland.